I'm a millennial, so I grew up with the Gorillaz. I say this all the time, this example. I noticed that not many, especially Gen Z, know about them. And it was this band, right? It's still a band that was created with CGI characters making music. So back in the time, it was the only example. But we found out that actually there are virtual influencers making music on Spotify. I didn't know about that, to be honest. It was something new that I learned. But to be honest, I was not expecting 15% of the people following virtual influencers for the music. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the new episode of The Influencer Factor by The Influencer Marketing Factory. Today with me, Marcella, the co-host. Hello.
Hi. Hello. I'm good. Thank you. And you?
All good. Excited to talk about the new topic for today, virtual influencers, right? It is a term that went quite popular for a while, like, you know, a few years ago, especially on Instagram, I'd say. And then it lost traction for a bit, and now it's back, right? So for the two of us and for other people in the company, you know, it's a term that is pretty known. But we notice that not for everyone, right? Like, you think that, especially, you know, younger generation know about the virtual influencers, but actually we surveyed, you know, 1,000 more people, right? And we found out that actually that's not true, right? But Marcella, let's start, you know, because, you know, again, you know, maybe some people, as we noticed, like, they might not know who are, you know, virtual influencers. Do you have like an easy way just to explain that? Is there like is there an official definition, or is it a bit blurry? Like, how would you define virtual influencers?
So virtual influencers are a virtual persona, a virtual model, more general, a computer generated character, and they can be used for many things in marketing, especially influencer marketing. They're counted as influencer since they, you know, have a personality, they share what they like, they share a story, they share more of the of their character with their community online. So virtual influencers are really popular now in social media, music, and many other platforms.
So they are, let's say, you know, they usually resemble human beings, right? So yeah, like, you know, these marketing personas, right? So some of them, they are like a normal, like, human being, right? Could be like Lil Miquela, right? I think it was one of the first. So it was just like, instead of doing like maybe a character that was resembling an animal or something else, in this case was like just seeing pictures of a girl, right, online. Mm-hmm. But it was 3D generated. While now, sometimes maybe you can find things that are not really, you know, like human beings, right? I saw something on TikTok, I think it was this sort of mascot type of thing, you know, that is, you know, this, you know, these funny videos and everything. So in that case, it's different. Like, you know, that is not a real, like, it's not a human being, right? It's more like a sort of cartoonish version of virtual influencer. But now I also seen that there are, especially for streamers, you can see, actually, they put on, I think, sensors, right? And in live streaming, they're changing themselves, right? So they still, like, remain themselves as they move, similar to in the movies, right? Whenever you have to create, like, a 3D character, so they put sensors on you, but now you're doing that with live streaming. So again, it's, I think, still a bit difficult, like, to say who is a virtual influencer, right? Because it could be a cartoon, it could be a real person that has, you know, the sensors on and creating a sort of, like, you know, other personality, or could be someone that is totally programmed by a designer, a coder, right? That's why I think maybe people are still a bit confused, right? There is not a definition once with all, right?
Yeah, totally. In my opinion, I think anyone that is able to influence, like, a community, people, for me, automatically counts as influencer. But of course, with the artificial intelligence developing, metaverse, we see a lot of different types of avatars, virtual influencers, cartoons, 3D animation. So that might be confusing. I agree, totally.
There is also this article that says, you know, what's the difference between virtual influencers, VTubers, artificial intelligence, avatars, and more. Again, for, I think, anyone that is, like, you know, in the in the industry, it's a bit easier. Sometimes even for us, it's a bit difficult, right, to understand what is happening. And again, it's important to understand that something that is based on, you know, CGI, so computer generated images, right? It's something, but something else it is, you know, like the VTubers that, you know, they're like virtual influencers that are streaming. There is so much going on, I think. But I still feel like there is a bit of a niche. Like, again, unless there is like Lil Miquela is well known and all the others, personally, Filiter is still a sort of niche market. It's not for everyone. And especially, it's important to say, you know, we work with real human influencers, right? So for me, the question all the time is like, how can you really trust, right, someone that, you know, I mean, again, if it is something that we put sensors on, it's still you, but with a different image of you, I can get it. But what about like someone in CGI? You know, right, all the time there is the question about, is this influencer might be biased, right? Because of the coder or the designer, right? How they're going to design this person. And so it was interesting for me, like seeing how people actually think about that. So first of all, we saw that not everyone follow at least one virtual influencer, right? What is the ratio between yes and no? Like we asked, do you follow at least one virtual influencer? How many yes, how many no?
So we got approximately 58% yes and 42% no. So almost the same, but a little bit more on the yes side.
So that means that at least they follow them, you know, maybe because back in the days they wanted just to follow one of the virtual influencers because it was this new phenomenon. But then, you know, after that, we also asked why they're following them. To me, it was a bit, I don't want to say shocking, but, you know, seeing that the... like, you know, I can see here and we asked, like, why do you follow them, right? And we have content, 27%. And to be honest, I thought that avatar aesthetics was a bit more. It was only 12%. And storytelling, almost 19%. What really shocked me, it is two things. One, they inspire me. Okay, so we asked them, like, do they inspire you? And 16% choose that. And music, 15%. Now, I'm a millennial, so I grew up with the Gorillaz. I say this all the time, this example. I noticed that not many, especially Gen Z, know about them. And it was this band, right? It's still a band that was created with CGI characters making music. So back in the time, it was the only example. But we found out that actually there are virtual influencers making music on Spotify. I didn't know about that, to be honest. It was something new that I learned. But to be honest, I was not expecting 15% of the people following virtual influencers for the music. Is there something here that I don't know, Marcelo, or were you shocked as well?
I was shocked as well because I didn't know either. When I did the research, the survey, I was shocked too because they have proper profiles on their Spotify, just like any other artist.
Okay.
So that's really interesting because they treat like a platform like Spotify, like their Instagram maybe, so they like you create music, which is not something like easy, you know. Thing that also stood out to me is that people think they are inspired by influencers and they love the interaction. 12% of them love the interaction. I feel like this is really interesting because, you know, virtual influencer, they might be of course computer generated, but I feel like people can relate to them because they are very good at storytelling and they like create these scenarios of their life. They're like, they come to Instagram or TikTok with already a plot and maybe a storytell that goes from here to 5 years after. So that's really interesting. According to Virtual Humans, there's more than 150 virtual influencers on social media, which, I mean, I think is a big number considering it's like a recent phenomenon. I think we can expect more. And the people that's in our survey that said that we asked why they don't follow virtual influencer, they said they're not interested for the 50%. For the 25% prefer real influencer, but for another 25%, they didn't know they existed. So that's really interesting.
Of course. And as we said before, not a lot, we found out that not a lot of people, they don't even know. And I also talked with some, you know, Gen Z. They told me like, oh, I didn't know. For me, it was like something generational. Like, you know, you are now younger. You should expect, you know, especially if you are, you know, that age to know. But they also told me, yeah, but sometimes it's still related to, for example, gaming. And so if you're not really into gaming, it might be a bit difficult that you even know about, you know, them. And we saw, I think, a good split between where they follow them, right? We found out about that Instagram around, you know, 30%, YouTube 30%, and TikTok a bit less, around 20%. I think that because TikTok is so new that you don't really need, I think, maybe virtual influencers, right? Compared to Instagram, there is or YouTube more saturated where you want something new. But potentially it's going to go also on TikTok, maybe in a few months or 1 year or something like that, when it's going to be more saturated, right? So interesting to see that. Of course, we also ask that, I think another big percentage is going to be on Twitch, because especially with the sensors on your body to become sort of like this digital avatar in real time, and we're better than Twitch, right, to do something like that. But what also was really interesting, again, it is that whenever we talk about influencer marketing, then, you know, it's a way to promote something, like could be a product, could be an app. Many times people ask, like, what is influencer marketing? And it is mostly just use these people that might have a micro or medium or macro audience with a specific niche and a geolocation. And because they have this fantastic relationship or this unique, trust between each other, right, from the audience to the influencer, they are able, as the term itself says, to influence the others, right? And so something it is easy to say, right? Like you are a real human being with your personality, your passions and hobbies, your way to do things, your language and lingo, your tone of voice and everything. So it's easier, right, to get a connection. So we also ask them, okay, influencer marketing, these influencers are influencing the others in doing actions because, again, it's peer-to-peer communication, it's relatable. Or it's inspirational sometimes, right? So the question for us was like, how can you trust or how can you be influenced by a virtual influencer, again, in buying something? So we asked them, right, have you ever bought at least one item? And this is something that, to be honest, I was expecting as terms for issues. But Marcella, can you just check again what was the exact split between the yes and no? So again, the question was, have you ever bought a product or service promoted by a virtual influencer?
Mm-hmm. So we had 65% of people responding no and 35% of people responding yes.
Okay, so what can this tell us? Do you think it's going to change in time? It is, again, something generation. It is about because it's too niche. Is it because at the end of the day, people just trust other people, not really CGI? What's your take on that?
I mean, I feel like we will definitely see this changing once virtual influencer maybe become more part of our, you know, social media experiences, like in China. We will always follow China when it comes to these things, because for example, in China, there are these virtual influencers. They are so well done that people couldn't even realize there are virtual influencers. So when something like this happen and you buy a product, maybe you don't even know that it's from a virtual influencer. So I think we will see this change more and more. Also, I wanted to mention a case study that stood out to me recently, which is the Hugo Boss that used, along with real life, of course, humans and celebrities, used two virtual influencers, Ima and Nobody Sausage. And I think this is really interesting that big brands are using virtual influencer for rebranding for this type of activities. And the more brands will do that, the more also these numbers will change. So I feel like people will buy more product or services promoted by virtual influencers anyway.
Also, because another you know, cool thing that a lot of marketers say, and especially brands, said, is that you can do whatever with a virtual influencer, right? It doesn't cost anything, but, you know, just producing the content, so having your designer, and maybe if you need a voice, maybe a voice actor. But, you know, you don't really have anyone that is going to be like, I will not promote these, like, Yeah, of course, you know, the person behind is still managing, you know, this virtual influencer. But again, you won't have sometimes that, you know, potential problem of like, I don't want to promote these, or this is my price just because I'm, you know, you don't have to fly people anywhere. So again, not really what we do, right? Like we again, I think that we prefer that human, you know, relatable content and having a person there, right? I can also see why, like, you know, you might, you know, want to use a virtual influencer that, again, it's easy to just, you know, transport, like, you know, from one place to the other, if you can say like that, just, you know, digitally speaking. And you can easily change the, you know, the you don't have, like, you know, for example, to shape sneakers or, you know, like a shirt, stuff like that. You can just put it in, you know, in post, you know, on the character. So again, pros and cons of that, but we, you know, based on that, we asked to people like how relatable it is, right? And I think it was like not that much, right? It was like on a scale from 1 to 10, what was that?
So on a scale from 1 to 10, we asked how relatable do you think virtual influencers are, and the average came out to 5.51, which is kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
I see why. I mean, it's hard for people to trust a computer-generated technology, but it's not hard for people to trust maybe a life that influencer portrayed on the internet. So that's kind of interesting to me, because even though the computer-generated technology, you know, maybe make people think that that's not true, that that's not relatable, that is not trustable, on the other end, I feel like virtual influencers still have their, you know, authenticity in some kind of way, because they have a specific character and specific storyline and specific, you know, values. So I feel like this will change too when we were with virtual influencers. Like, for example, in China, virtual influencers are also used to live stream and sell products. So how can you not trust or relate to someone that is make you purchase in live streaming, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing where it's different, right? Whenever you can create a bilateral communication, right? And especially in live streaming, again, we have seen that during live commerce, you can show, for example, you know, like a pair of sneakers, like in the chat, they can ask you, can I see that model again? So again, in that case, I think, again, that could be, if there is like interaction, I can see that. Maybe I don't see that much, you know, on a static pictures, because again, in that moment, you can really not relate, you know? So I think that, you know, something that might work, again, is going to be like real human beings with maybe sensors, and they're going to, again, they have their own characters, they have their own values, but they're just going to go on a sort of like, you know, avatar, known for that, okay? And so their real image is not really that important, but, you know, it is what they have inside to tell, but with a different image, like, you know, based on CGI. More than personally, I think, you know, having someone that is trying to imitate, right? Like, for example, that one, Nobody Sausage, like, that is, you know, it's funny because it's a sort of mascot, right? It's not a human being, so you can relate. It's like in cartoons, whenever there is a dog that is talking, the dog can say anything they want, because you cannot really, you know, you cannot really put a face of a human being on it, you know? So it's different. I think the same also for, you know, the virtual influencers. Like, if it is a human being, it's a bit difficult because you think that it's trying to imitate something. So I don't know if you would trust it, but maybe you might buy from a mascot. Like, if you think about it, it's the same idea. Like, when you're a kid, you buy cereals, right? Because there is a mascot on it. So it's like, hey, this is going to give you, you know, a lot of strength for the day. The same might be for, like, Nobody Social. That's like, hey, I just tried this new product. You might buy it mostly because maybe it's a funny content that you want just to, you know, whatever. So it's the same concept. But again, you know, whenever maybe you have little Michaela, I don't know personally if I would buy from something that is like from someone that is trying to replicate the human being aspects. But maybe I'm not in the right age, or maybe I'm not the right niche or whatever, but I'm quite interested in that. So to recap on this, you think that there is going to be a potential, because we also ask it to people, right? How mainstream is going to be. And we also saw, I think, based on different ages, like they said different things, isn't it? They said they had like a different average. So we asked it to people how they felt about having what is going to be the future, right, for virtual influencers. So we said that the relatable was that was like 5.1, 5.5, something like that. Is that correct? And yeah. What about the mainstream aspects? Do we know that?
Yes, we asked how mainstream do you think virtual influencer will be on a scale from 1 to 10 in the next 12 months? And the average came out around 7-ish, 7.
Okay.
So I think that's pretty high considering like they're not this well known. But yeah. Again, I think this year they will take on more seriously than before.
I see that again, maybe for brand safety, again, you get more control. And you never know, right? Like back in the days, people said about video games, they were like, oh, what is this? People will just, you know, play around for a few months and that's it. And now there is a big, you know, industry that. And I think there is a lot of, I also think there is a lot of potential. It's going to be easier for people to create virtual influencers, I think, because now, you know, back in the days doing AR and VR, for example, was difficult. You need a certain software. So now with, I think Snapchat and some others, you have these tools where you can create, you know, filters and masks and everything. And I think it's going to be the same also for virtual influencers. So as you now can easily create an avatar on your Instagram, you might, you know, maybe someone is going to create any software so where you can create that and it's going to be easier. So so there is opportunities. I think that is going to be really interesting also and important when it comes to regulations, right, on like, who is really like in charge of what this person, you know, right, that can say or not say, what are the rules, you know, all the things that now apply to human beings is going to be, you know, right, important also, like, okay, you're giving this character of storytelling. What happened if this storytelling is a bit racist or they say something wrong, like, who is behind it? Because you have many people, right? It's not just anymore you, but it's maybe a designer, again, a storyteller, a creative strategist, right? There is many people, and you're actually creating a product itself. So the virtual influencer is the product itself that is trying to sell other products. So
yeah, for sure. Also, I feel like whatever it applies to our real world, it will apply to the metaverse. So
yeah.
Everything stemming from, you know, artificial intelligence, as you said, filters, avatars, anything like that, we will see everything and we will see everything in the metaverse and how it will be handled there. And virtual influencers are part of it as well. So
yeah.
I think that will be super interesting.
That is also, you're right, it's going to be interesting because now we are seeing mostly maybe virtual influencers on social media. But tomorrow is going to be also virtual influencers in the metaverse. And in that case, it's going to be, I think, more, you know, more of a sort of interaction, right? But I think we will need some years, I think, not months, but years before. You know, like we have to establish who is an virtual influencer, the regulation, everything. And then only a niche now is using the metaverse. Like we talked about that in another episode, right? Only, I think, 10 million of people have a device, Oculus. So it's still a niche compared to having a smartphone, right? But that's quite interesting to say. To wrap up and, you know, just you know, like seeing a recap of what we saw. We said that, you know, so far 60%, something like that, they are following. So at least there is an interest. It's not like just 10%. There is an interest. But then whenever we ask, have you bought something, it flipped the coin, right? So yes, I'm following them, but I'm not really trusting them enough to buy something. And we saw that they are split quite good in between like major social media, right? Was a bit shocking for us to find out that the music is one of the, you know, main reasons why people listen and watch, you know, virtual and follow virtual influencers. These are just some of the basics, but if any one of you is interested, we work it also on a nice infographic, right? That is live. Any other data you think that, Marcel, you think that people should, you know, check out the infographic? Is there any other small gem, without saying maybe the numbers, but is there anything else that why they should check also the infographic on our website?
I mean, we try to break down those data also by age to give more of a detailed perspective. So I think that's interesting Also because, yes, virtual influencers are talked, but not that much. So I think that this survey, it's like a little step into getting to know more about that. So if you're interested in that, you should definitely check this out. And this is our first episode about virtual influencer, but I expect we'll do more because there's so much to talk about. Like we just said a little part of what this word is. And there's many interesting case study that we can talk about. And I feel like it's a very, you know, exciting topic.
I think that we will do another one for the metaverse that is going to be updated, one for the social space. So here and there, you know, like for people that are maybe just listening to this episode and they missed the others, we talked in past about social commerce, we talked about the creator economy, the metaverse, you know, how to become a talent. Like, so I think that we will, in our industry, this is what they say all the time, every day it changes. Like one day in our industry is like 1 year, and maybe in other industries. So I'm pretty sure that whenever we're going to talk about the virtual influencer next time, it's going to be, I would say, totally different, but we will see potentially different statistics in the survey that we're going to run next time. Because again, it might not be becoming like, you know, the next sensation in the next few months, but we are going there, right? No matter what, we cannot really, you know, force in going in any directions. It's going to be a quite natural, I think, journey, right, for influencers and also for brands to innovate all the single time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Marcella, for joining me today to talk about this interesting topic. And for people listening for the first time, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, on YouTube. If you also want to see us with the little clips and everything, and we also usually share clips on our social media. And if you want to check out about the infographic that we just said, you can go to theinfluencermarketingfactory.com. On our blog, you will find a blog post about this with a breakdown, as Marcella said, by age. That I think is going to be interesting for the most of you. Again, thank you so much for listening, and see you the next time.